The assigned lectionary epistle reading for this Sunday, and actually for the next several Sundays, if the lectionary is followed, comes from the book of James. This is from the first chapter. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the God of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of God's own purpose, God gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of God's creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. Be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and, on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. I have one major goal for this sermon. It is my sincere hope that you don't learn anything that you don't already know. And I know that sounds strange, because I usually love to dig deep into the potentially obscure meanings of any given biblical text and then share that information with you as part of the sermon. But today is different, primarily because the book of James is different. James has become one of my favorite books in the Bible, and primarily because it is more practical than it is theological. In fact, a case can be made that James is more concerned with what we do as followers of the ways and teachings of Jesus than what we believe as Christians. As a moral discourse, James is steeped in the tradition of wisdom literature, sometimes even referred to as the Proverbs of the New Testament. And this letter lays before us the ethical implications of what we understand to be our calling as followers of Jesus. And I like the style of the book as well. It is blunt and it is to the point. And it's comprised of simple truisms and admonitions that basically everyone already knows. Important things like when it comes to relationships, whether personal or within a community of faith, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. James loves to state the obvious. In fact, if the entire Bible were like the book of James, we wouldn't really need preachers. For who needs a preacher merely to remind us of what we already know? But therein lies the catch. Knowing and doing are two very different things, and that's the whole point that James is trying to make. In other words, simply hearing and knowing what to do is not as important as doing what we know to do. Or as stated in what I think is one of the most important verses in the entire Bible, James 1:22, be doers of the word, and not merely hearers. The Bible, then, is more than some kind of intellectual problem to try to solve, as fun as that may be, especially for us progressives who like to search for new ways of interpretation and understanding. The scriptures want more from us than simply to be understood. They long to be put into action. And saying that it is still necessary, always, to ponder, think, consider, reflect, dissect, even question and debate what we read and hear in the Bible. That's always important and vital to our life and journey of faith. But ultimately, however, the Bible really wants us to get moving, to get into the act, and to live out the lessons in the texts. So Jesus was often called teacher. What he said was, "Follow me." Jesus was concerned with discipleship, the very act of putting our faith into action, not just mere intellectual agreement. And the remainder of verse 22 states, "Be doers of the word, not merely hearers who deceive themselves." William Willimon, now retired chaplain at Duke University Chapel, once stated in a sermon, "We deceive ourselves into thinking we have done the faith when we have merely listened, reflected, pondered, agreed." He goes on to state, "What we profess is not as important as what we are able to perform. Beliefs must be embodied and acted in order to be real." The key word here is enacted. And that's where a typical Sunday morning service of worship can actually get us into trouble. For it is a fact that a good deal of worship, especially in the tradition of Presbyterianism, is non-participatory. Willimon rightfully states, "Church often becomes a place where we come, sit back and say, 'Okay, preacher, choir, organist, do it to me. Fill me up.'" Put another way, if a service of worship could be compared to going to see a theatrical play, for instance, folks in the pews, that's you, often see themselves as the audience. The pastor, liturgist, and musicians are perceived as the actors performing on the stage. Well, reflecting on this common phenomenon, Soren Kierkegaard, an early 20th century Danish philosopher, social critic, and existential theologian, switched this perception around. He reminds us that in a service of worship, the congregation is not the audience, but rather God is the audience. The folks in the pews, you, are the real actors, and the worship leaders are merely the directors. Therefore, the real test and mark of an effective church service, or for an effective church school class for that matter, is not so much what we say here as it is with what we take with us and do beyond these walls the rest of the week. Perhaps the most scathing criticism that could be leveled against any congregation is the old line, "After all is said and done, more is said than done." That's why there's an occasional charge and benediction that we use at the close of a service of worship that includes the admonition, "As this service of worship comes to a close, our service to the world begins." Yes, there's wisdom that declares that what we say is often not as important as what we do. For instance, we can't just tell our children and young people how to live good lives. We need to show them by being good role models. And as you who are parents of young children now or in the past are fully aware, we are being watched by them much more closely than we realize. So all this begs the question, as a Christian, as a follower of the ways of Jesus, what kind of example are you setting? At home, at work, at school,
at church,
with family, with friends, with complete strangers. For me, it is the real life scenario of practice what you preach. And this is how we prevent hypocrisy, which is one of the main complaints leveled at Christianity today. It's one of the reasons why more and more people are choosing to have nothing to do with organized religion. They are tired of religious folks saying one thing and doing another. And they are right. Willimon writes, "The world is quite right in judging the truth of the gospel on the basis of the sort of lives the gospel is able to produce. Do we really look like the God whom we praise here on Sunday mornings? Have our songs and prayers changed us, made us into what we profess? That is the test," says James. And again, we already know that. We know that any sermon that is seen in deeds of love and justice is more effective than one that is only spoken and heard. And perhaps the best way I can summarize all this is with the famous quote, often attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, "Preach the gospel always, and if necessary, use words." In the book of James, we are reminded that the perfect law, the law of love that gives freedom and liberty, is something not so much to be studied, but rather lived out in and through our individual lives, in and through the life of this congregation. For in order for our faith to be real and authentic, it must be translated into deeds and actions. And that's what James means when he writes later in this letter, "Faith without works is dead." So the issue before us now is this: what will you and I now do with what we have said, sung, and heard here this morning? How will you put your faith into action later this very day? What about tomorrow on Labor Day? But the day after that, when many of us will go back to work. And then there's the day after that. There's a story of a couple who, following a service of worship, got up to the exit and said to the preacher, "Pastor, that was a wonderful sermon." To which the preacher responded, "That remains to be seen." Words and beliefs by themselves, while important, are never enough. Be doers of the word. Amen.